Be the answer. Amen. All right. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter number 16. When you find that, stand with me. We'll read our text this morning. I am truly blessed to have our guests with us this morning, and I hope that you feel welcome and encouraged. And that is our ultimate goal, is that you would be blessed, welcomed, encouraged. And I guess more than any of that is that today that you'll hear from God. And that's what our desire is. We've been preaching through the book of John, and we go verse by verse. We don't leave anything out, and so we find ourselves in chapter 16. Our text this morning is verse 9 through 11, and we're going to begin reading in verse number, let's just start in verse number 1, amen? We'll get a running start at it. Plus, I like verse number 1 a lot. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be, say that word, offended. God, that was Jesus that said that. Jesus said, you should not be offended. Yeah, that's good. He goes on, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. So in other words, we live in a world that denies, rejects God, persecutes God's people, and they think they're doing the right thing. That's what he's saying. Now, verse 3. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? And they were upset about Jesus leaving, but they weren't really interested to know what his plan was. That's what he's saying there. Now verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Now he begins to explain. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, beneficial, good. That's what expedient means. It is good, it's beneficial for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And it's implied, isn't it, that the work, the ministry of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is key to the gospel. It's key to the gospel. It's implied. It's expedient. Now verse 8. And when he is come, he will, note this, reprove the world of sin. That word reprove means convict, convince. In other words, he'll speak to your heart about sin. And then he said, of righteousness and of judgment. Now verse 9, our text. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message this morning. We need you. God, we need to hear from you. So I pray that your touch would be in this place, your spirit would be in this place, that you'd work in the hearts of your people as you promised that you would. I pray that there would be those today that would give attention to your word and you'd speak to them. And for those that need to be saved, that you'd bring conviction and that they would come today before it's too late, please. Do that work. Bring courage to those who need to be saved. We'll just give you glory for what you do and how you've already worked. We thank you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. How many of you like going to yard sales / garage sales? Raise your hand. How many of you like having garage sales? Raise your hand. Okay, there should have been less hands right there. You might like going to garage sales, but there is not. Listen, I'm just going to be honest, okay? This is going to be painful, but I got to tell you the truth. You might have something wrong spiritually in your life if you like having garage sales, okay? All right, this is my heart on that. But if you're going to garage sales and you see a sign that says garage sale and you get a little bit excited about it, right?
Yes.
I lose all excitement if under that words garage sale or yard sale, if right under that there's numbers and an address, I mean, I'm just like, I'm out. You know? I mean, that's too much. If it has an arrow, then I'm like, let's go. Garage sale, arrow. I'm like, yep, here we go. Somebody might have flipped that thing around, you know, or drew an arrow the other way. I'm just going to follow the arrow. That's how it is with me. I appreciate arrows, because if it's an address, it's too much work. I'm like, okay, I'm already don't want anything at that garage sale. So I remember, this would have been years ago, but I ran a half marathon trail run. Okay, so what that means is you're crazy already, right? So you're running a half marathon. Why would you do that? But which is 13 point something miles. It's a long ways, and you're running that whole time. So it's a half marathon, which I've done a lot of those, but this one I'd never done before. It was a trail run. What that means is you get on a hiking trail in the woods in Topeka, Kansas, and there's trees and brush, and there's creeks that you're going to run through, and you're on a trail that has rocks and stumps and all kinds of stuff that you're going to hit with your feet. You don't know that at the beginning, but it's going to happen. And so you're in this, and you're just running on this trail. Now, in the process of running this trail, what you're constantly going to need is arrows on trees pointing you in the right direction, because sometimes there's a trail that goes this way, and then the trail goes that way, and you don't maybe know which one to go on. So the arrow helps, okay? The arrow says, okay, if you're in the trail run, then you need to go this way. Well, arrows in life help us to know where we're supposed to go, whether it's a yard sale or you're doing a trail run. But what we need is we need to be pointed to God. Amen. Now, if we think that in life that we're going to live in this world and we're not going to have somebody designated from God to point us to Him, we're not going to find Him. We're going to wander around in this world like the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but we'll do it our whole life. We need somebody to point us to God. You say, well, I'll just trust my heart. If you listen to the world's philosophy that says, I'm just going to trust my heart, it won't lead me wrong, then you're already deceived. Because the world says, trust your heart. The world says, follow your heart. But God says this in Jeremiah. He says, your heart is deceitful above all things. You think about how deceitful something can be. It's just politics is coming up, you know. You're like, oh no, is this pastor talking about politics? So we see a lot of deceit that happens in the realm of politics. And we wonder, is that how deceitful? No. God said this, your heart is deceitful above all things. So in other words, there's nothing in this world or in this life that will tell you the wrong path more consistently than your own heart. Amen. How telling is that? But yet even still, our heart will tell us, well, you know, you can trust yourself sometimes. No, we can't. So what we need is God. We need a person from God who has the message of God to point us in God's way. We need somebody to point us to God. Amen. And that's what this is all about. What we need is an arrow that's pointing us in the right way. And in this passage, God gave us the arrow. Yes. This is the arrow. In fact, He has a name. He has a few names. I like the name Comforter, don't you? Because it says what He does in your heart. Like, man, I'm having a rough day. Sounds like you need the Comforter. Well, we're in a really tough season in our family. You know what it sounds like? You need the Comforter. You know what that Comforter will do? He'll comfort your soul. He'll speak to your spirit. But here's the reality of it. He will be the arrow that'll point you to God. He'll point you in the right way. And we need that in our life. Without it, we're hopelessly lost, bound to wander in the wilderness of this world without God and without direction. I feel like there's some fire in here this morning. We need that. I want to read a couple of scripture to you. Listen to this. God looked down from heaven, the psalmist said, upon the children of men, and to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. But you know what God found? Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy, and there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Paul quoted that passage in Romans 3, and then he added an addendum to the end of it. Here's what Paul said in Romans 3:12. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So what we need is God to point us in his way. What we need is the Comforter to come and to, like he said in verse 8, to convict us. Look at verse 8. It says, and when he is come, speaking of the Comforter, he will reprove the world. Reprove means convict, but it also means convince. It also implies that he will speak to you. He's personal. He loves you. He cares for you. And by the way, he knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows the right path when your heart is telling you the wrong path. So we need God to convict us. We need him to reprove us. We need him to speak to us. And he does in love, doesn't he? For God so love the world. He loves us. He loves you. And his desire is not just the best, but he desires the right. Righteousness, holiness, which isn't always, as we learned in Sunday school, to be defined in the context of blessings and flowers, but in knowing with confidence I am where God wants me to be. Amen. And I'm doing what he wants me to do. And so we can have confidence in that with the leadership of God, the Comforter who speaks to us. He convicts us. He reproves, it says. Now, it says in that verse that he reproves the world of sin. And then it says, and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, he could stay there, or rather stop there, and he's made his point that the Comforter, or the Holy Ghost, who speaks to our hearts with grace and love, pointing us as an arrow to the right path, that he does it in these three ways. But he actually expands on it in our next verses, which is what we're talking about this morning. So to help that, as though to help us understand where we struggle in listening to God and where we struggle in understanding what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live and how he wants us to move. So he speaks to us in these three areas. He points us in the right direction as it relates to these three things. Let's look at the first one, verse number 9. He says of sin. Let's just stop right there for a moment. We'll talk about the last part in just a moment. He says of sin. What is sin? Sin is to miss the mark. Sin is to miss the mark. That's what the word means. God tells us, the Apostle John tells us in his epistle that sin is the transgression of the law. So therefore, sin is defined as by God. We know that we've sinned because we missed God's mark. For Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We missed God's standard. We broke his commandment. And we don't have to go very far in the commandments to know that we did that. Actually, if you go all the way to the first commandment, which isn't have no other gods before me, the first commandment is this, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know who God gave that commandment to? Adam and Eve in the garden. And so we know how that went. And you and I, we don't have to go very far into the Ten Commandments to know that we broke God's law too. Well, let's say we get all the way to the end, because I think it's one we can't any of us in here argue with. And it's the ninth commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know what that means? Lying. Or not telling the whole truth. Because you could tell part of the truth, but you've not told the whole truth. So you've borne false witness, you see. Well, I think all of us would say, well, I definitely have failed the Lord. I've broken his commandment. I've missed his mark. And so sin is a reality in our existence. It's a part of who we are. And look what he says next in verse 9. Of sin, which is to miss God's mark, because they believe not in me. And so what God is saying is the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to your soul that you're a sinner. Now, why will he do that? Because mankind does not have a natural inclination to belief in God. Did you know that you actually need somebody to convince you of that? Amazing as it is, that we all would admit that we make mistakes. Do you know what I think people have a struggle at times admitting? Is that their sin is against God. Not that we sin, but that our sin is against him. And so the Holy Spirit works in the heart of men to bring conviction to convince men that his need is in God as it relates to our sins. He convicts us that we are sinners and our sin is against God. He speaks to us. We need that. We need that arrow in our life pointing us to our sins and the desperate state that we find ourselves in as it relates to our relationship to God in our sins. So that's the first one, conviction of our sins. Listen to this one in verse number 10. It says, of righteousness. So righteousness would be related to the righteousness of Jesus. Now think about this for a minute. The world rejected Jesus. They nailed him to a cross. They hanged him on a tree, which to the Jews would have been a curse. They would have seen anybody who hung on a tree as being accursed by God. Let me read a scripture to you. You don't need to turn there. I have it noted here. But in Galatians, it says this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written in Deuteronomy, as a matter of fact, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Jews who crucified Jesus, they hung him on a tree and they saw him as cursed or unrighteous, unholy, not of God. And so the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as he brings conviction to our soul, wouldn't just be of sin, that we're sinners and our sin is against God, but that Jesus is righteous, that he is holy when the world has rejected him as holy. Look at the last part of the verse. Because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. So Jesus would be raised from the dead. And in his righteousness, or rather in his resurrection, his righteousness would be revealed. Because of Jesus' resurrection, it's revealed that Jesus is the one who reconciles man to God. And so here's what happens. You hear the message of the gospel, and you start in your, not just because of the words of the gospel, but listen, that God uses the words or the message of the gospel to work in your heart. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, begins to convict, and he convicts us of our sins. Amen. Listen, this isn't a theory. This is a reality. Amen. That men are sinful. And our sin isn't some mistake that we made one day. Our sin is an offense to God. And it has separated us from him. And what we need is to be redeemed back to him. And so our sin puts us in a desperate state. And whereas we would justify ourselves, hey, I'm not so bad. In fact, I've talked to a lot of people who think themselves not to be so bad. You know, I think that God will let me into heaven someday. I'm a pretty good person. But in the eyes of God, our sin has brought separation from us and him. But it's not an intellectual exercise where now you're hearing a preacher and he's going to convince you. Well, let's see how good this preacher is. See if he can convince me. That doesn't even need to be the case. We present the gospel and somebody whom we can't see because he's a spirit begins to work in your soul. And what does he do? He convicts you. He speaks to you. And here's what he says. You are a sinner. And your sin has separated you from God. But there's one who's righteous. And so not only are we convinced of our sins, but God begins to speak to us about a righteous one. The righteousness of one who raised from the dead, who's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for mankind today, and that in the righteousness of Jesus, you can be made right with God. You can be reconciled to him. Now, we might think, well, that's an intellectual thing too, but it's not an intellectual thing. It's a conviction. It's where God not only convinces you that you're a sinner, but he also convinces you that salvation or righteousness is in Jesus. So God speaks to us. He speaks to us about our sins and about his righteousness. But what about the last thing? The last thing is what I think we feel most. Let me say that again. The last thing is what I think we feel most. What is it? Verse 11. Of, say that next word, judgment. Now we consider, because the prince of this world is judged. And I want to share a few verses with you, and we're going to get to rejoice for a second. Listen to these verses. It says this in Revelation chapter 20. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's the destiny of Satan. That's the destiny of the devil. That he'll be, as it says in the last part of that verse, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that's what God said about Satan. How about this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God's desire is to save mankind from the judgment that will come upon mankind, the same judgment that will separate Satan into the lake of fire for all of eternity that is applied to man because of his sins. And then God says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's in John 3:18. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so here's what God is saying. He's saying you're a sinner, and he convinces you of that. He speaks to your heart. He says your only hope for salvation, reconciliation to God, is through Jesus. He is the righteous one. He convicts you of that. But then he begins to speak to you about a coming day, a day that hasn't happened yet. You're already condemned without Jesus, but you'll one day, you'll experience what God calls the judgment, where you'll stand before God, and he will look to you, and he'll judge you according to your works. You say, well, you know, I've been a pretty good person. Listen, if any person stands before God at the great white throne judgment and is judged according to his works, he'll stand unredeemed, condemned in our sins. Now, that's a reality. It says appointed, Hebrews, Paul said this in Hebrews 9, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. In Revelation 20, verse 11, listen to what it says. And I saw a great white throne. You know, I think we should look at that together, don't you? Amen. Go to Revelation. Lose your place in John. Revelation. It's all the way the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20. Not quite the last chapter of the Bible. Almost. Revelation 20. In verse number 10, we read of the coming day of judgment against Satan in verse 10. Now look at verse number 11. John predicts, he prophesies, he sees here, it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. By the way, you know who's sitting on that throne as judge? It's Jesus. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of that day. He says, many will say unto me in that day, which is this day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't I pray? God, remember that day whenever I talked about you and I talked to you and I did all these things, you know? Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. But then Jesus will say, in that day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And so the day of judgment is the day of Revelation 20. Look what it says in verse 11, the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. You say, Pastor, what books were open? You're holding them in your hand. And there's 66 of them. And you'll be judged according to what you did with God's gospel, the Word of God. The books will be opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so if you don't have Jesus having had reconciled your soul to God and standing on what we know is His righteousness, not our righteousness, because there's no righteousness in us, and we're judged according to our works, then we are judged and condemned already. Look what it says in verse number 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, that is the judgment day. That is the great white throne judgment. And those who have not turned their heart to Christ will be there on that day. And what breaks my heart is there are going to be a host of people who think they're going to miss the judgment, and they're going to be there. How do you know that? With the scripture we said just a minute ago out of Matthew 7, the closing of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, many. He said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, I've been a really good person. He says, listen, but I don't know you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know you. Let's time out and talk about that. How is it that Jesus can say he doesn't know somebody? I thought Jesus is God. And by the way, Jesus is God. God's people said, amen. Jesus is God. By the way, because he's God, he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. So he knows us. You say, well, then how is it that he says he never knew us? Because he's talking about intimacy. He's talking about relationship. He's talking about, you are not in my family. You're not my child. Listen, whenever you have salvation, here's what Jesus called it. Ye must be born again. When you're born into the family of God, which is a spiritual thing God does in you, then what you have is a relationship. But if you base your ability to know God on religion alone, you're not going to make it. I'm going to say that again. If you base your relationship or your knowledge or knowing God on religion alone, you're not going to make it. Because it's not religion. It's relationship. And so when Jesus says in that day, he's talking to people who prophesied in his name. He's talking to people who cast out devils in his name. He's talking to people who did many wonderful works in his name. And he says, but I don't know you. And so you'll be at the judgment. But you say, well, Pastor, how will I know? Well, you know, it's not really my job to convince you of that. I just deliver the message. Amen. But do you know who speaks to you? Amen. His name's the Comforter. Amen. And he tells you you're a sinner. He tells you. He tells you that Jesus is righteous. And he's reconciled. He's made a way for you to be reconciled to the Father. He went to the Father, and he's made a way for you to be in heaven. And you know what he'll also tell you? That if you reject him, you're going to be at the judgment. And he convinces you. He speaks to you. And that's what we need, isn't it? I've talked to a lot of people through the years about salvation, and the Lord has given me the privilege to be able to do this as not just as a job. You think, Pastor, you like your job? I do like my job most days. but I love what I get to do. Why? Because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. So it's a privilege to be able to deliver the gospel, both in this context and also in a one-on-one setting, which I absolutely love those times. And there's been many times that I've talked to people about their need of salvation, and I just present the gospel. Listen, God says we're sinners. He's reconciled us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a way. And then God convicts us of the judgment, and we're like, man, I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. And if I don't get saved, I'm going to go to hell forever. And you know who convinces you of that? It's not intellectual. The Spirit of God touches you. He speaks to you. I remember when I was, I would have been 13 years old, and I knew the preacher's preaching. I'm sitting on the back row, and I knew in my heart I was a sinner. Man, I was a thief. I'd stolen so many things. And it didn't take very long to convince me of that. It seamlessly went into, but there's hope. because of Jesus. And I knew if I died today, I knew I wouldn't be with God. How did I know that? There's a man that I had Bible studies with. He was Lutheran all of his life, up until then, 70, I think, 2 years old. I could be wrong, but he was right around in that age. And we're doing these Bible studies, and he's open to the gospel. And he's just listening and presenting, but he didn't say a lot. And sometimes I'm doing Bible studies, and somebody, they're listening, and they're giving attention, but they don't say a lot. And I wonder, are you getting this? Does this make sense to you? And so I finally, after about 12 Bible studies, I said to him, I said, Kenny, are you getting this? Does this make sense? And he said, oh, yeah. I mean, this makes total sense. And I said, Kenny, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven or you wouldn't go to heaven? He said, you know, Pastor, after learning these Bible studies and what I have embraced in my religion and what I'm learning about how the gospel really works in your heart, if I was to die today, then I wouldn't go to heaven. And I said, really, do you know that? Do you know that if you were to die today that you would go to hell? And he said, yeah, I guess so. I know that. I said, how do you know? Because it didn't seem like it bothered him that much. I said, how do you know that? He thought about it. He didn't know how to answer that. He thought about it. And you know what? As he leaned forward, he said, you know, Pastor, I think I know that because you told me. I said, really? I said, so you know that you're going to go to hell today. If you were to die today, you'd go to hell. You know that because I told you? And then whenever I asked him that way, he leaned back in his chair and he thought a little more. And then he finally leaned forward and he said, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really know. So you don't know where you would go? He said, no. I said, that's probably a better place to be, is I don't know. Why? Because it's not my job to convince you. I don't convict people. I just deliver the message. So Kenny came back. We met on Tuesdays. We're at Bible study the next Tuesday. And we're talking through the gospel. He interrupts me right in the middle of the lesson. He said, Pastor, hang on a second. I did that. I said, you did what? He said, I asked the Lord to save me last week. I said, what day? He said, on Thursday. I asked him to save me and to come into my heart and forgive me. I said, Kenny, how did you know that you needed to do that? And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, watch this, friends. He said, Pastor, I just knew. He pointed at his heart and he said, I just knew. Amen. Friends, how do you just know? Because the Comforter, he speaks to you. The message is delivered and God works in your heart. What does he say? You're a sinner. Jesus is righteous and he's the only way. And if you don't turn your heart to him, you will be judged forever. How do you know? Because he tells you. So what if that's you this morning? What if you say, Pastor, I know if I die today, I won't be with God. Why? Because I'm a sinner. But I don't want to be separated from God. I want to be saved. I don't want to be at the judgment. I want to be made right with God. I want to have peace in my soul. I don't want this. How do you know, Pastor? I know that I need to be saved. You know what Jesus said? If that's you this morning, if you know that you need to be saved, it's not intellectual exercise. It's not, wow, that was a good sermon. No, no, no. You know that you need to be saved. Then what do? Then you listen to Jesus when he said this. Are you ready? To the woman at the well. My very favorite Bible story about this. Here's what he said. If thou knewest. I think we know what he's talking about now, don't we? Who's the one who makes you know? It's the Spirit of God. If thou knewest the gift of God, the gospel, and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, who it is, God himself. Do you know there's only one thing you have to do if you want to be saved? Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You know, living water isn't baptism water. Living water, you know what? I prayed over this water, guys. And we're just going to do a line of you up here. I'm going to poke a hole in the front, and we're just going to go. Living water. Is that what it is? No, 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 no. A living water is a well of water that springs up within us, leading us unto everlasting life. Verse 14, Jesus explains, but he says this, and this is the word I want you to get. If thou knewest in your heart that God is speaking to you and you know you need to be saved, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you know you need to be saved, all you have to do is what? All you got to do is ask. That's how easy it is. Speaking to your heart. You need to be saved. I really feel like there's only one thing that stops us. It's pride in our own heart, isn't it? The arrow that points to God. Do you know who He is? He's the Comforter. The arrow that points to God. Maybe He's doing that in you. Maybe you're on that trail. You're like, man, I think I'm going to get lost. But then you see an arrow. Maybe you're feeling it this morning. Would you come? You say, Pastor, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to fight this anymore. I want to get it saved. I know he's working in me. I know I need to be saved. And I've been fighting it. I don't want to fight anymore. If thou knewest, you got to come. Father, I pray for these that need to be saved. I can't do more than deliver the message, but I don't need to do more because you promised that you would convict. And if somebody needs to be saved and they need to come, would you bring that courage to them so that they would come before it's too late? Convince them of sin, righteousness, and judgment that they might be saved and get it right with you today. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You say, Pastor, that message spoke to me. And I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I'm sort of like Kenny. I just got to be honest. I don't know. Would you lift your hand? I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you and nobody's looking around, but I'll pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand and I'll pray for you. Anybody? Just lift it right up. Anybody? I'm not sure if I'm saved, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Anybody? I sense that there's likely somebody here, and I will pray for you. Father, I pray for these that need to be saved, perhaps here who maybe didn't lift their hand, but they should have. Would you give them courage to come? And maybe for those who know they're saved, they remember that day when you touched them. Would you help them to rejoice in salvation and to learn to stand in the gospel, the blessing of living in the light? It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altars are open. As we stand, Miss Melissa plays, Grant will sing. The altar's open for you. If you just want to talk to God, it's an opportunity to talk to Him. You can just come and speak to the Lord. Thank Him for His goodness and grace. If you need to be saved, then I want to encourage you to come to the altar. Lift your hand high. Make sure I get your attention or you get my attention.